It is 12:41. Welcome back to the KWMT Power Lunch. And as promised, we've got Ray Jenkins on the phone. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hey, good afternoon, Dwayne. Kind of windy down here in southern Iowa.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of wind here, too. We actually had a little rain shower roll through early this morning at about 5:30 or so, but that has pushed out off to the east and seeing nothing but sunshine right now. And a lot of sunshine in that grain stocks reported 11 o'clock this morning.
Well, absolutely. You know, this report, it seems like about 1 year out of four or five throws a pretty good-sized curveball at the market, and today was one of those years. Let's start off looking at the corn stocks, which were expected to be 2.25 billion bushels as of September 1. And instead, they came in just a notch under 2 billion at 1.995. That was enough to ignite the corn market to new highs for the current move. We had a high of 382 and three quarters, which was up 16 to 17 cents. When we look at soybeans, which had already been a little frothy here in the last month, the average trade guess was 576 million bushels, and we came in over 50 million below that at 523, and that was enough to push November soybeans to a 40-plus cent gain earlier today. Now, we backed off from the highs a little bit in the marketplace, but we've certainly changed the tenor of this marketplace and are now going to be really focused on the October crop report, which will be coming out a week from Friday.
Right. Were there any surprises, Ray? I mean, other than the reaction, I mean, does that mean that a lot of grain was taken to town, or what do those numbers mean at this point?
More than anything, it's probably a reflection of a lower quality crop in that was grown in 2019 and consumed over the next 12 months. And so generally, we probably had some lighter test weight, some lower quality, some feed efficiency that was not as strong as what we would normally hope for out of our good crops. So that's the biggest factor, because the other items that they had the ability to change, like last year's actual production number, really wasn't changed very much.
Right. I was kind of wondering about that. Well, with the news today and the positive response, I kind of forgot about the crop progress report that came out yesterday, but things are moving along pretty good there too, aren't they?
Yes. Trying to make some comparisons to last year here in Iowa, it's actually kind of difficult, because a year ago at this time, at the end of September, we really were not even getting barely started at all. And yet we show that as of Monday, we were about 30% harvested on soybeans compared to 7% a week ago. And the five-year average is about 8%. When we look at corn, we're about 12% harvested in the state versus 4% a week ago, and a five-year average of about 5%.
All right. Well, very good. Were there any areas that kind of stuck out either direction as far as the report that came out Monday?
Well, certainly the Northwest Crop District is kind of leading the pack in both corn and soybean harvest. Beans at about 47% harvested, and corn at 19. Then you drop down here into the south central part of the state. Soybeans have only been 6% harvested and corn at about 7. And I suspect we're going to see a pretty sizable change in harvest activity as we go through the week and get some drying conditions off of this brisk wind we're seeing today.
Yeah, exactly. So the harvest that's taken place, are you hearing anything on yields or test weights or how things are going out there, Ray?
What I hear more than any other item is how variable the yields are, especially on soybeans. We've got people with yields at 70 and 80 bushels in some rare instances, and we've got people with 30 and 40 bushel yields. And I think that there's going to be just a huge difference in soil type and soil quality in determining these final yields. If you've got high CSR ground, it's definitely paying for itself this year.
Yeah, yeah, and I've actually seen some of those numbers across the monitor myself. So, yeah, test weights have seemed to be pretty decent this year.
I've not heard a whole lot of data on test weight other than one harvesting operation that had started real early. And generally when we start seeing harvest in that September 5 through 15 to 20 date on the calendar, we generally see some lighter test weights, but then it rapidly improves after that.
Right, right. Hey, the ethanol report came out this morning. Looks like, what do those numbers tell you?
Well, it looks like we are kind of struggling to get week after week increases in the production. Consumption seems relatively good, but we're at about the 881 number for production this week, and that's down about 25 from the previous week. Now, some people are making the case that there are several ethanol plants down for pre-harvest planned maintenance, and we'll hope that's the case. But we've still got a big job to do, and it takes a little bit of the edge off the bullishness of that corn stocks number. If we come out in our next WASDE report and give a 75 to 125 million bushel haircut to expected corn usage for ethanol.
Ray, I was going to ask you, is it common this time of year, I guess I should say during harvest, to see option bids at ethanol plants and even positive bids right now?
That is a little unusual. However, a lot of people that have moved grain around aren't necessarily the folks that are paying a lot of attention to week and day-by-day basis levels. And so they're looking at more of a flat price item. I'm sure they would probably tell you that if you were willing to bid $3.90 to $4, they could probably make that auger go the other way.
Yeah, absolutely, in a heartbeat. Yeah, yeah, might even turn some lights on at night and work in the dark for that. So I get that. Hey, Russia, Brazil, starting to hear more chatter there with weather conditions on the other part of the world.
Yes, you know, we've been dealing with these burdensome United States stocks levels. And every time something befalls the industry, whether it's the Dereco or some other event, we say, oh, well, there's plenty of grain or whatever. Well, we're finally getting to the point where some of these weather issues could provide a little more support in the marketplace. So the two areas that people are keeping an eye on are Brazil and Argentina in South America, and then also in Russia and the former Soviet Union areas, where it's been pretty dry in that Russian region. But in South America, they're struggling to get their soybean planting underway while the conditions are so dry.
Right. Hey, before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you, we've heard some talk that there could be more corn put in storage out of the field this year on the farms rather than soybeans. What are your thoughts on that? And I guess really more than anything, what farmers need to be doing with these bushels coming out of the fields right now?
Well, certainly if farmers have corn space that they normally would put some beans in, they really need to strongly consider moving those beans into the marketplace here during harvest or shortly thereafter, and then use that space to put corn in and earn the carry that's being offered in the market. Now, the carry in corn is not as strong as what we would normally see with a 2+ billion crop, but certainly in soybeans, we have absolutely no carry between November and July futures out there right now. So farmers need to make a strong consideration to preserving bin space for corn at the expense of soybeans.
Yeah, you talk about that forward. I mean, we're like at a 0.25 cent right now between those two contracts. So, like you say, not a lot of incentive right there. So, well, Ray, what anything else you want to add here before I let you go today?
We were up in central Iowa last Thursday and watched some extremely high-quality Grundy County soil sell for $12,300 per acre, and some ground very close to it brought $11,400. So there are definitely some strong bidders for extremely high-quality ground. This ground had a 94-plus CSR, too.
Now, was that a live auction or online or both, or how did that take place, Ray?
It was a live auction. It pretty quickly distilled down to two bidders, both of whom were well-known land buyers in that particular area.
All right. Well, very good. Well, Ray, as always, we appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Dwayne.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Ray Jenkins, the Iowa Corn Guy. And I am going to take a break. We'll come back with a market wrap here before 1:00.